Well, a few weeks ago in the elders meeting, Will mentioned the topic of, or he mentioned the idea of waiting on the Lord. So I took that idea and ran with it for the day, and thought that sounded like a good thing to study. So, waiting on the Lord. Think about the aspects of waiting in our 21st century society. We have online shopping. We have drive-through fast food. We have next-day delivery. We have instant coffee. We have people can't even afford to brew their own tea anymore, take the time, so they buy tea already made in plastic bottles so they can throw them away. They don't want to fill water out of the tap, so they buy a bottle of water at the store. You know, there's all these things, and I say they, but a lot of the times it's we, right? Juice packs, you know, we can't take time to pour a bottle of juice for our kids, so we sell them a box full of juice. Pre-prepared straw strapped to the side. You know, it's kind of funny, you know, and I'll admit that I'm really bad about fast food places and drive-thrus, because if I see a long line at a drive-thru, I just will not wait for those five cars to proceed ahead of me. I'll go inside and circumvent the drive-thru, which is meant to speed things up so you don't have to wait. So, you know, everything is geared towards feeding and watering us in as quick a manner as possible. And this last year has actually been good, because I find that we as a family tend to linger after meals and talk more, which is more the European model, right, where you enjoy the time together and fellowship. So that's been a good outcome from this last year. But waiting on the Lord, what does it mean to wait, and how can we sit down and slow down long enough to actually wait on the Lord? So let's pray. Father, as we dive into your word, we ask for your Holy Spirit to waken us up to principles that you have there for us to learn from. Help us to see those that have gone ahead of us and the encouragement that they have for us by your Holy Spirit and the examples that they've given us. May the words that I speak be edifying, in Jesus' name. Amen. The first way we wait is with expectation. In Psalm 27, David says, "I would have despaired unless I'd believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage." Yes, wait for the Lord. He expected that he would see goodness of the Lord. There was a sure hope there. That's the concept of the Hebrew word, is a hopefulness in waiting. And it's not just, well, I sure hope that happens. It is a sure hope. It really will happen. The waiting that we see here in this passage is one that gives you courage. It gives you strength to carry on. In Micah, he has, "But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." It's a sure thing. He is going to hear us. And he's sitting there waiting, watching, expecting it to happen. In Psalm 119, there's three different verses there. "My soul languished. I will wait for your word. You are my hiding place and my shield. I will wait for your word. I rise before the dawn and cry for help. I wait for your word." Three different ideas there. I'm languishing, you know, sitting there melting away. But I'm waiting for your word. Your word, what does that mean? Wait for your word. He knows it's coming. He knows he's going to be faithful. The Lord is going to deliver. His word is a sure thing. "You're my hiding place." David spent a lot of time climbing around in the cliffs in the Judean wilderness. He knew all the nooks and crannies, but he was still focused on the Lord's word and his faithfulness. And then rising before dawn. You know, it's making a sacrifice. Before the dawn comes up, I'm getting up and crying out. In Psalm 130, I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. Just think about how easy we have today. You know, we don't have the assigned soldiers outside of our house or our compound guarding us. You know, your watch is from midnight till 4 a.m. and yours is from 4 to 6. And you have to get up and wait for the invaders to come or chase off the intruders. Back then, you know, and even today in many areas of the world, you have to be on the alert for people trying to come in and attack. Proverbs 20, verse 22 is a different idea. Do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will save you. In this case, you wait knowing that God is an impartial judge. He is going to carry out justice on his timing. We don't have to take things in our own hands. And in Romans 8, for in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope for one who hopes for what he has already seen. But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. So we don't see something, we're hoping, we know it's going to happen, and we're going to persevere knowing that we will one day see it come to pass, hoping in the unseen. Wait with expectation. I was in Lidl's a few weeks ago, and they had the chocolate-filled croissants on sale for $2. Woo! Four for $2. I just could not pass it up. And I bought, I will confess, Mark, I bought two boxes of them, two containers of them, and hid them. I won't tell you where, Mark. it's terrible. I'm sorry. I confess, I'm a sinner that way, concealing food from my children. And I brought them home. I think I had gone to a men's breakfast and then went over there and got them after that. But I was very patient. I did not eat one on the way home. It sat there in the seat beside me in the truck. I had every opportunity, but I had a lot of bacon at the men's breakfast, so I didn't need one. But I was going to wait until the next morning for breakfast. And I waited. I stuck them in the refrigerator. The next morning, I had a chocolate croissant with my coffee. That's the same kind of waiting. You know, we have hope, expectation, something is going to happen. It's a sure thing. But we're able to be patient and wait. Well, should our waiting for the Lord be any less? It should be even more dramatic than that, right? That's a silly illustration. But shouldn't we always be excited? You know, he is... given us all these blessings, he's given us all these promises, he is going to deliver, and in the process of each day-to-day activity, he is going to come through. He is going to respond in a glorious way. Wait with expectation. Second, wait with eternity in mind. And Job talks about this in chapter 14. If a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my struggle, I will wait until my change comes. You will call and I will answer you. You will long for the work of your hands. And I see in this passage, Job's looking forward to being united with the Lord. One day, he is going to be reunited with his Maker. He's got eternity in mind. He's going through a great struggle, but he sees the future will one day be united with the Lord. Psalm 37, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Here's a tough one. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Forsaking fret is something that we all struggle with, right? Fretting. We're supposed to wait without anger. We're supposed to wait without wrath and fretting. One day, the evildoers will be cut off from the land. We have that promise. It's a sure hope. The Lord will come, and he will cut off all evil. And Psalm 37, wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off. You will see it. A sure thing. In 1 Corinthians, oh, this is a strong one here because it says we're not supposed to pass judgment on people. Don't go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes who will bring to light the things hidden in the darkness. The Lord is going to disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. And you can look at this. I think this passage is talking mainly about on the positive side. Don't try to judge a book by its cover, you know. Wait on the Lord. He's going to judge accurately and reward people accurately. And the praise should rightly be coming from the Father and not from people around us. In Philippians, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior. Do we eagerly wait? For the Lord Jesus Christ, he will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things unto himself. Are we looking forward to having our bodies conformed to the image of the glorious Son? Wait for transformation. And then finally in 1 Thessalonians 1, the picture of turning from idols to serve a living God, to wait for his Son from heaven, in whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus. We're serving a living true God, and we're also rescued from the wrath to come, this passage is saying. And interesting to think about that Jesus went through suffering so that we could be experiencing true healing. You know, he suffered for a little while so we could have true healing and true and thorough rescue. Wait with eternity in mind. Just like Don was looking at the weather forecast for rain Saturday, I was looking at the forecast a week ago at that dipping temperature in the middle of the week. It kept revising it downward. It was 36, and then it was 35, 34, 33. They never went below 33, but in my neck of the woods, down there in that little hollow we live in, it's always 2 or 3 degrees colder. It's a frost trap down there. So we were waiting. We went out there and threw frost protection on their Remay, our row cover, that white stuff, put it on what we could, but then there's potatoes. There's, I don't know, what is it, 1,200 feet of potatoes or maybe more, too big to cover. And the kiwi plants are too big. The blueberry bushes are too big. Everything is just too big. So we covered what we could, and we waited. And sure enough, the temperature went down to 30 degrees on Wednesday night. And then the next morning early, we get up, and then you see up in the distance, the sun beams are starting to shine on the distant mountain, but you also see all that white frost everywhere down here. And I had plenty of doom and gloom. You know, the worst thing was the wind was blowing 15 miles an hour. We just could not cover things and keep it on there. I had covered the peas or mulched the peas with hay, and the wind blew all the hay off and off to one side. Anyway, the sun came out. It's right there, right at the mountaintop. Hallelujah. 7 o'clock. Starting to light up the frost on the hillside. But some things were slightly blackened. You see all these leaves here, the kiwi plant. Some things were thoroughly frozen. The potatoes are just totally, totally frozen crisp. Okay, don't we wait for the sun, the S-O-N? We're waiting for the sun. Are you prepared? you have eternity in mind? Are you protected by his blood so that when the freezing cold of sin comes, that you're not frozen? Make sure we're not darkened and frozen just like the plants are. It comes back. Yeah. He brings those potatoes back to life again, miraculously, I hope. Last year we had three hard freezes, and they struggled pretty badly. But I'd say don't threaten them with, don't assume that, don't presume that. Make sure you're ready. Make sure you're expectant and waiting with eternity in mind. Sometimes my illustrations break down. Third, wait evangelistically. Is it possible to wait and also spread the gospel? Well, of course. In Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. So in the process of waiting, David was waiting patiently, crying out to the Lord. And in the process, other people saw his patient waiting. Other people saw his deliverance. Other people saw his singing and praising. You know, there were many people around him at the time. And many were able to see, fear, and trust in the Lord. We do the same thing in our waiting. We're waiting evangelistically. Psalm 52, verse 9. I will give you thanks forever because you have done it. I will wait on your name, for it is good in the presence of your godly ones. So in this verse, make sure your praise is a community affair. You know, it needs to be something that spread to the community around you. In Psalm 69, may those who wait for you not be ashamed through me, O Lord God of hosts. May those who seek you not be dishonored through me, O God of Israel. And in this passage, it's looking at the negative side. Don't make sure that when I am waiting on you, I don't make people ashamed. Make sure I'm not bringing dishonor upon you. So our evangelism needs to be positive, you know, and a positive effect on people are waiting. In Psalm 119, may those who fear you see me and be glad because I wait for your word. And this is a case of the Lord's name being glorified, the testimony that we offer as a result of our waiting. Our actions are a testimony. Are our attitudes of waiting on the Lord an example to other people that are drawing them to him and causing them to grow in faith? That's the resulting question. Are we waiting evangelistically to draw people to the Lord? For many years, we've been supporting Joel Brenna, a Cuban indigenous missionary. And the information coming out of Cuba has always been very limited because of the communist government there, especially back in Fidel's administration. We got very little information, a picture, and they'd use code words and say very little. Joel always looked worn and sad. I mean, he still kind of looks sad in a way. We would pray for him and support him. This last month, we got a missionary letter from him, and I'm going to read it. We see a marked change in what's going on there. He says, I serve in an area where many people practice witchcraft, and the youth are trapped in alcoholism. Most of the population is very poor and needs to hear about the hope in Jesus. God, in his immense mercy, has given my wife and me his grace to work with the people in our area to oversee the village congregations that I am responsible for. There are many nominal Catholics and Jehovah's Witnesses there, but the salvation and love of God has no borders. Many of these people are dedicated to the cultivation of rice, but hurricanes and natural phenomena have affected their crops. When they meet Christ and receive him, they open their hearts to miracles as they look to him for agricultural mercies. When they see God's response, they give him honor and glory. It has been precious to see the harvest for which we have waited so many years. We see these formerly rude, uneducated peasants singing and playing their music to God. Hallelujah. In recent months, my coworkers and I were able to open 3 Bible study home groups. We have seen an awakening in the people and in our congregation. I have opportunities to preach and lead prayer meetings every day, and I lead Bible studies 4 times per week. I distribute Christian literature when it's available. Among the congregations I oversee, 53 people have recently testified to receive Jesus Christ as the Savior of their souls. The wait over the multiple years has seen fruit. Wait evangelistically. Praise the Lord for Joel, what he's doing. Finally, wait energetically. Doesn't that seem counterintuitive? Can we wait and then do something while we're waiting? Are we waiting and not waiting? You know, that's the real question. If you're doing something, are you not waiting? Well, that's what I'd like to look at. Isaiah 40. You know this verse. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up like eagles on wings of great length. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Well, it's right there. Those who wait on the Lord are going to mount up on wings. And I think we jump to the conclusion once they jump up, once they start flapping, they're not waiting anymore. No, they're still waiting on the Lord, but they're mounting up on wings and they're soaring. They're walking, they're running, but all while waiting. In Psalm 25, indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Make me know your paths, O Lord. Teach me your ways. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. So, while we're walking in his paths, we're still waiting on him. That's key, that we're progressing, we're proceeding, we're doing things while we're still waiting on him. It's important. Lamentations. Jeremiah wrote, "The Lord is my portion." Lamentations 3:24. "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him." Seek the Lord and wait on him at the same time. In your seeking, make sure you're still waiting. And Hosea 12:6. "Therefore, return to your God, observe kindness and justice, and wait for your God continually." While you're waiting continually, observe justice and kindness. Those are action words, right? You're making sure you're walking kindly, justly, all your actions are just and kind. Yes, wait energetically. An example for this is Dad's hospital visit. 3 weeks ago, he headed off into the hospital, and we waited with great expectation for his return home. It was a 19-day stay, both at the hospital and the physical therapy facility. But back at home, we couldn't just sit still. He was coming home one day. We didn't know when initially. So we had things to do. We had furniture to move, house to clean and rearrange, etc., and build a wheelchair ramp so he could get up into the house. We didn't know if he'd be able to walk in under his own steam or if he was going to be wheeled in. So we had to quickly construct a ramp. All this energetic work was going on while we were waiting for his return. And then, hallelujah, one day he returned and walked up the ramp and has been gaining strength ever since. Well, one day the Lord is going to return. while we're waiting, are we just to sit there and wait? Are we to wait and do what he told us to do? Yes, he's given us a mission, and his mission includes waiting, hoping expectantly on him, but also making sure we're carrying out his mandate for us. Waiting expectantly, waiting evangelistically, waiting with eternity in mind, and waiting energetically. And our job is to get up there, mount up on those wings, and soar, walk, run, and not grow weary because we're waiting on him. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word, which will not return void. Thank you for the many miles that you've brought us all this past week to this place this morning where we're resting, being encouraged by your scripture and your faithfulness. Pray for the events this coming week, for Jason going into surgery, for James going into colonoscopy, for all these other requests. Just ask your Holy Spirit to give your peace to these people. Be with Joel as he continues to see fruit in Cuba. Help us all to continue to learn how to wait on you and depend on you as we continue on the task that you've given us until you come back one day. Call us to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We'll see you all next week.